follow. And remember, even though I have, you know, the scriptures in on the screen, make sure you have your Bibles with you, okay? So that way you will know that what the pastor is saying is actually what the Bible is saying. So let's just have a word of prayer and let's begin with our message for today. Our Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you give us the discernment that we need, Father. We ask for the Holy Spirit in this moment. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So the title for our message for today is A Day in Court Part 2. So we already shared a message with you before. So this is part 2 of that message. So basically, last time we learned that the Bible teaches us that each one of us has a case pending before God. Did you know that? Did you know that? I hope you know that, because that's what the Bible tell us. So even now, we are being given a summons to appear in the judgment to give an account, like the Bible said, for the way we have lived and what we have done. So we are given the summons right now at this very moment. So every man and woman who has ever lived has a case pending, my brothers and sisters, before the judgment of God. So the highest court of the universe, in other words, so we have a day that we have to appear. So the Apostle Paul actually tells us about this appointment that the whole world must, in a way, keep. Let's go real quick to the book of Acts. Look at what Acts says. And I'll put it, like I said, here, but make sure you also, you could take notes so you could read the Bible at the same time. Look at what the book of Acts says on Acts 17:31. He has appointed a date on which he will judge the world. Okay? No one, my brothers and sisters, will be excused. That's what the Bible is saying. No one can escape the summons. The Bible, my brothers and sisters, clearly states that everyone, including yourself and I, will have to appear in court. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." So read your Bible. You know, it said, "For we must all, okay, appear before the judgment seat of Christ." So, whether we believe it or not, my brothers and sisters, whether we like it or not, whether we profess to be Christians or not, whoever we are, we must all appear. Okay, God has no favorites. When we are summoned by the court of heaven, we must appear. Now, the question is, why? Well, Paul gives us actually the answer to that. Look at what he says in Romans chapter 14, verse 12. "So then, each of us should give account of himself to God." So the decisions of heaven's court will forever seal, my brothers and sisters, the destinies of every person. And the decision will be irreversible, for there is no higher court of appeal. Now, before a verdict can be given or a sentence passed, there must be a trial or investigation. And last time I mentioned to you what the trial is going to look like, or the different trials or the process of the trial that will go. So let's turn to the Bible and notice the picture of this trial or court session, if you want to call it like that. But this court session, my brothers and sisters, is happening not here on earth. It's happening where? It's happening in heaven at this point. Look at what the Bible says. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. "I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. Okay? His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame. It is its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands minister to him. And what else? 10,000 times, 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were what? Opened. So here, the prophet Daniel pictures God, the Father, or the Ancient of Days, seated upon his eternal throne and surrounded, my brothers and sisters, by countless of angels. Now, notice what Daniel saw next in his vision. So let's go back to Daniel now, chapter 7, verse 13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, the Bible says, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Now, here the Son of God is pictured standing before the Ancient of Days. That's what the Bible is saying. So how very much like a courtroom scene of on earth. I don't know if any of you have been able to see, maybe, you know, if you have been called to court, or even you have seen it on TV. So the same thing, you know, it's happening. So there is a presiding judge, the Ancients of Days. There are witnesses, the holy angels, who has seen and recorded actually everything. Those are the witnesses. And standing before the throne is Jesus, man's advocate. Okay? Look at what John actually wrote. And if we go real quick to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, he said, "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So you will say, everyone seems to be there, but the one who is to be tried, is that person there as well? So we have the judge, we have an advocate, and we have the witnesses. We have the angels as witnesses. So, but what happened then with the one who has been on trial? So in essence, that is true. You know, it doesn't mention at that point. But let us notice what the Bible says. So if we go now back to the book of Daniel, chapter 7, and verse 10, it says, the court was seated and the books were what? Opened. Okay? Evidently, my brothers and sisters, these books contain the records of the deeds of those who stand actually in trial. Look at what Solomon, actually, King Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or what? Or evil. And look at what Malachi, chapter 3, verse 16 says. Then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened. And here then, so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. So God, my brothers and sisters, notice every time our hearts are drawn to him. So he's noticing all that. He marks basically down every word of encouragement that we give to somebody else, in every deed or kindness that we express as well. King David also knew about records. For he said, look at what he said in the book of Psalm, chapter 56, verse 8. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? So God, my brothers and sisters, knows. He knows about the deepest sorrow of your life as well. Of course, God knows all about us. That's exactly what David is saying. Look at what he said also in Psalm chapter 139, verse 1. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You are familiar with all my ways. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to me. Now, while God knows all about us, it is not necessary for him to keep records for his benefit. See, the records are kept for the benefit of the universe. So there is clear evidence of God's love and justice in every case. So our accountability, my brothers and sisters, to God, basically what the Bible is saying is solemn. So our devotion, in other words, to him has to be truth, has to be truthful, has to be sincere, because he knows every secret. He knows everything, even how we feel. He knows even our thoughts. So it has to be pure, in other words. So everyone must account for the most precious gifts of all life. This is what Solomon was saying when he also wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verse 9, rejoice, all young men in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all this, God will bring you into judgment. And now if we go to the book of Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, look at what it says. For every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of what? In the day of judgment. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be what? Condemned. It's interesting. See, it's interesting to know this, my brothers and sisters, because this is so truthful. You know, what the Bible says is truth. You know, someone has estimated that the average person speaks enough words in 1 week to fill a book of at least 320 pages. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? Now, if you're 60 years old, that could mean that more than 3,000 books are written about every single word that you have said in your life so far. Can you imagine that? Now, my question is, you know, and thinking about this a little bit, what will your library of book have to say in the judgment? And more than that, even the motives behind those words and actions will be open to view, because that's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, look at what it says. He will bring to light what it is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of man's hearts. So there will be no, how can I say this, no covered ups, in other words, in the last days. Because everything will be brought to light. Man may be able to fool their friends and even their families, but no one, my brothers and sisters, can fool God. Right? He reads the secrets of our hearts. He knows them. So you see, when our judgment day comes, we will find ourselves in one of two positions. Either our entire record of past failures will have been covered by the blood of Jesus, or our records will stand to condemn us, to make us guilty, in other words. So it is not what we profess, but what we are and what we do that makes the difference. For Matthew chapter 16, verse 27 says, he will reward each according to his what? To his works. So our good works are not the basis of our salvation. I want to clarify that, because the Bible teaches us, and the Bible actually tells us, that God's grace is what saves us. In other words, but our good works do actually reveal that our hearts are committed to God. Now, perhaps you are saying at this moment, you know, but if we are saved by grace, why are we judged by our works? That is a good question. That is actually a valid question. So remember, it is a love relationship with Jesus that motivates his followers to do good works. Yes or no? See, it is the love that you have for Jesus. It is that sincere love. It is that pure love. It is that honest love that motivates you to do good deeds, to do good works. King Solomon expresses this in this way. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into what? Judgment. So since man's relationship to Christ is to be judged by his conduct, there must be then some clear standard by which to measure that conduct. So, in other words, in our judicial procedures here on earth, the usual purpose of a court trial is to determine if a crime has been committed and if a law has been actually broken. So only when a law has been violated can a man be found guilty. We all know that. So in God's judgment, there is a law or standard, and James, see, James makes it clear which law will be actually upheld. So let's go to the book of James, chapter 2, verse 12. Look at what he says. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. See, if you read the previous verse, which is read verse 12 of chapter 2, but if you read the previous verse 11, he says, do not commit adultery and do not kill. So it's obvious, my brothers and sisters, that God's Ten Commandment law is called the law of liberty, by which the life of man will be judged. See, the judgment will simply determine on which side we stand in the great conflict between Christ and Satan. The question is, are we with Christ? Have we let him live out his life in us? Do we express, or do we show this, you know, the fruit of the Spirit? Have we, in other words, have we had a supreme love for him and his will as expressed in the Ten Commandments? So it is, my brothers and sisters, our desire to follow his will by his strength. That's what we need to do. Has he written his law in our hearts? That's what will matter. That's what will count in that judgment. You see, when immigrants, all right, or when, you know, an immigrant desires to become a citizen of this country, all right, of the United States, they are required to pledge their legion or their alliance to this country, right? Promising to be loyal citizens and to uphold the law of the land or to abide by the law of the land. So is the Christian, my brothers and sisters, when they accept Christ and they desire to become citizens of his kingdom, God asks them to pledge their love and allegiance to him and to uphold the laws of his government. However, not all immigrants, right, remain faithful to their solemn vows, all right? Some outwardly seem to be loyal citizens of the land, but later they are found to be rebellious. So when this is proved, the citizen or the citizenship, as you said, of that person is revoked, and he is what? Deported. He's sent back wherever he came. So likewise, not all Christians, my brothers and sisters, remain faithful to their vows. It is not enough to be declared righteous. Now, we must remain faithful to him until he comes. So it is not enough to profess that we are followers of Christ. We must allow Jesus' perfect life of obedience and faithfulness to be lived out in us. Matthew chapter 7:21 expresses this way. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. See, the whole controversy between good and evil, between Christ and Satan, is about God's character of law. And the law is written, right? The law is written. Standard of that character, small, wondered it, or small or big, right? No matter, you know, how our behavior, no matter how our thoughts are, okay? That will become, you know, prominently in the final judgment. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, in other words. Okay? Now, it's shocking to know that, or in other words, I'll probably put it this way, that there is a shocking fact, little known by most Christians, that in heavenly court, there is a session happening right now. Many people think that that's not happening. It will happen until the end. No. The Bible makes it very clear, my brothers and sisters, that this session, that this court, that this trial, it's happening. In fact, the last book, the book of Revelation, revealed that God's judgment is actually taking place at this very moment that I'm preaching, at this very moment that you're sitting, wherever you are, in your sofa, in your bed, in the kitchen, wherever you are. This judgment is actually taking place at this moment. This is why in the closing, you know, chapters of the book of Revelation, John outlines the world's last warning and invitation in this way. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 6. Look at what he says. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water. So you will notice that this message does not say that judgment will come. It says the hour of his judgment has come. So the second part of this message calls God's people out of the false religious systems that will exist in the last, actually in these last days. So the final, my brothers and sisters, the final part of this last message to the world warns God's people to be aware of worshiping the beast power, just like Revelation chapter 13 mentions. If we go to Revelation chapter 14, verse 9, look at what it says. If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Then I look, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Trust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap. For the harvest of the earth is what? Ripe." Now, the question is, what is the harvest of the earth? My brothers and sisters, it is the end of the world. The harvest refers to the second coming of Jesus Christ. What occurs before the second coming of Jesus? Well, the Bible just made it clear, God's judgment will happen. Now, the good news is that Jesus is the Lamb who dies. How many of you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Jesus, my brothers and sisters, is the priest who lives. Jesus is our great high priest. Just as the Israelites, high priests enter the most holy place once a year, like we learned in our prior sermon, part one. So Jesus, at the end of time, entered the most holy place to perform his work of judgment. In that judgment, it is our relationship and attitude toward Christ which determines our eternal destiny. My brothers and sisters, the good news is that Christ longs to save us. Amen? Christ longs to save us. He's doing everything he can to save us. He's doing everything he can to save you. He's doing everything he can to save your family. He's doing everything he can to save your friends, to save your neighbors. He's doing everything he can. Look at what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 31. "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father, who is where? Who is in heaven." You see, you don't have to stand, okay, alone in the judgment if we have confessed Christ. He will confess us before his Father. But the Bible says in Matthew 10:33, "Whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." So if we are Christ, he is our advocate, my brothers and sisters. Through Jesus, we will stand before God as if we had never sinned. How many of you say amen to that? Can you imagine that? In other words, our record will show only the lovely life of our Savior, and we get credit for his perfect life. So my brothers and sisters, there is nothing to fear about the judgment day. For those who love and follow Jesus with all their heart and soul will be safe. And the only things that will be talked in that trial about those that love Jesus, that were clothed and clean by the blood of, by the blood of Jesus, is only good things. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? So you don't have to fear judgment. If you are in Jesus, you don't have to fear judgment. For Jesus will present the merit of his own shed blood to cover every confessed sin. Look at what John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all what? From all sins. So, my brothers, again, and sisters, we are living in earth's last hour. The pre-advent judgment has been convening in the court of heaven. And we learned this, right, since 1844, because we learned, you know, our last sermon about the 2300 days. So that's when judgment in heaven started. And it is being conveyed right now. But there will be, you know, the time, the probation period, the door will close. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. Look at what it says. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. In other words, judgment begins with those who profess to be God's people. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Wow. Isn't that amazing, my brothers and sisters? Only those who have continued to make Christ first in their life can wear Christ's robe of righteousness. See, without that, no man can be vindicated in the judgment. It is a solemn time in which we live. We need, my brothers and sisters, to be taking an inventory of our life at this very moment. We need to maintain our commitment to Jesus, as it is the only possible preparation for our summons to court. Soon, man's probation will close completely, and the decree will go forth. Look at what Revelation chapter 22:11 said. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. So, at that time, the mercy and pardon God has so long offered, men will be withdrawn. That's what the Bible basically is saying. So the saddest words in the human language will be the words of those who have put off salvation, those who have denied Christ, those who has, in a way, how can I say, those who has turned their back to the voice of the Holy Spirit. So, this is the time, my brothers and sisters. That's what the Bible says. The day of salvation is when? Today. Today is the day of salvation, my brothers and sisters. It's today that we need to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and also as an advocate. Look at what Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20 says. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Those are the words of those people that didn't confess to Jesus. Those are the words of people that didn't take him as his Lord and Savior. Because then it says Jesus will return to earth. And for those people at that time will be too late. See, Revelation chapter 22:12 says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. My brothers and sisters, Jesus longs to be your advocate in the judgment day. He longs to have you accept his sacrifice on Calvary He longs, my brothers and sisters, to have you confess your sins to him so he can blot out all those sins. He longs, my brothers and sisters, to have your name written in the book of life. John describes those who will and will not enter the holy city, because the Bible tells us, look at what it says in Revelation 21, verse 27, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. So only those that abide by the law of God. That's why it's interesting. I don't know all of you that has been studying the lesson for this week. Abide by the law of God. How many of you say amen to that? If Jesus, who is an advocate, also abide by that law of the Father, so you and I need to abide by that law so that your name will be written in that book of life. So when your name is called, my brothers and sisters, when your name is called, when Jesus returns, guess what? You will enter the kingdom of heaven because you will not be found guilty. Now, will you like to open your hearts to Jesus right now? Will you like to ask him to take out of your life anything which will keep us from being in his kingdom? In the judgment, my brothers and sisters, as we learn in the Bible, God will reveal everything about us. Everything is exposed before this whole uniform. All of our sins are recorded. That's what we learn. Now, will you like your sins to be covered? Covered with the blood of Jesus? Will you like for Christ to step forth and say, yes, this man, yes, this woman is one of mine. I have forgiven their sins. I have canceled their debt. I have paid the price for them. I have pardoned their guilt. Their sins are covered with my blood. Blot them out of the records forever. Jesus, my brothers and sisters, stands at heaven's throne. He stands there in the judgment as your Savior. Isn't that a wonderful news, my brothers and sisters? The only thing that you and I need to do, so that all those sins, so that every bad thing, every bad thought, every thing that I have done that is not accordingly to the law will not reveal on the last day, is if you commit to Jesus, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you confess to him, he will, in his great love and mercy, be your advocate. So right now, this is an important moment, my brothers and sisters, in our life. My question to you is, will you come to him today? Will you give him your whole life? Why not lift, I will say right now, your hands to heaven? Right now, lift your hands to heaven. Right now, at this moment, wherever you are, if you're in bed, get up, lift your hands to heaven. Right now, as I prayed, and tell your Lord, Lord, take my life. I want to be yours. Our Heavenly Father, you see your children. You'll see your people at this very moment. We have learned, Father, that we are in trial at this moment. But how beautiful it is to know, Lord, that we have an advocate. We have Jesus Christ. The book of remembrance has been opened. All those records that all the angels have been keeping in those books are being revealed. But Father, how wonderful it is to know that you are the judge and Jesus is our advocate. And through his merits, through Jesus' merits, Lord, we could be called not guilty in trial, because the blood of Jesus will cover all our sins if we confess. So, Father, there is no fear that we should have when it comes to judgment, because the good news is that if we turn our ways and if we turn to Jesus and if we allow Jesus to live in our lives and if we abide by the commandments and we keep those commandments, Father, all of our sins will be cleared and we will be pardoned by the judge and our names will be written in the book of life. And we will enter the kingdoms of heaven. So, Father, you see your people right now lifting their hands to heaven, saying, Lord, I want you to be my Savior. In Jesus' most precious name, I pray. Amen. Amen. I believe we have a closing song.